Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us that typically a bird that's medadet, that's walking, can walk up to 50 amma. So the Gemara begins today's shiur with a question. By Reb Yirmiya, Raglo Achaz B'toy Chamishim Amma, one leg is within 50 ammas, and one leg is outside of the 50 amma. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Says the Gemara. Valda, for this question of Kua Rabbi Yirmiyah b'mei Midrasha, Rabbi Yirmiyah was expelled from the Beis Medrash. And of course, the Mefarshim try to understand why was he expelled from the Beis Medrash for this question. So Rashi says, because such a situation where one bird, when one leg is within the 50 amma and one leg is outside the 50 amma, is very unusual, and therefore, because it's so unusual, it was considered unacceptable to ask such a question. Taisus finds that explanation difficult to understand, because Taisus says Shas is replete with questions that are not that common. And yet we don't find that there's a problem with that type of a question. And why is this so terrible? So he explains that once we learned in our previous Gemara, the Chazal teach us that birds don't walk out of 50 amma, so then that becomes the shear. In other words, he says that throughout halacha, the halacha always teaches us different shiurim, different sizes. A mikveh needs to have 40 saw. A drop less, it's not kosher. If it's a drop more, it's kosher. So asking this kind of question is irresponsible and improper, because that's the way that's the way Chazal always teach us. And that's the way Chazal always teach us. It was inappropriate to ask a question that questions that explanation. Another explanation I saw is that the halacha is that whenever we have this type of a question, the halacha is yachloiku. And if indeed there were a situation, the question has an obvious answer. And the Tver Shloima explains this Gemara Pidrush. He says, what the Gemara is referring here to are the 49 days of the Sfira, and then the 50th day is Shavuos. And what we're supposed to do is prepare ourselves during the 49 days of the Sfira to the upcoming 50th day of Shavuos. And the question that was asked was, how is one supposed to prepare himself? What Rabbi Yirmiyah was supposed to say, if you still have one leg in the 49 days, that means you still didn't finish preparing properly for Shavuos, then you're not prepared for Shavuos. And an incomplete preparation should be obvious, they were saying to Rabbi Yirmiyah, is not considered a preparation. The Pnei Menachem says that what the Gemara here is talking about, sometimes people in life have difficulties. And the way they have difficulties, sometimes the Yetzer Hara tries to convince them to do the wrong thing. What is the way to be able to prevail over the Yetzer Hara? The way to prevail over the Yetzer Hara is by, as we learned, that Torah Tavlin. The Torah is the antidote against the Yetzer Hara. But the way the Torah could be an antidote against the Yetzer Hara is one immerses himself totally in Limud HaTorah. If your connection to Limud HaTorah is a weak connection, Ragloi Achas, you have one leg in the Beis Medrash and one leg outside the Beis Medrash, then that's not the way you're going to be able to fight the Yetzer Hara. And the question, the thought that one could win over the Yetzer Hara any other way is a reason to be expelled from the Beis HaMedrash. Tashma. So we go back to the discussion we had yesterday. We had a discussion yesterday that when there is a question, and the Torah in situations of questions gives us different methods how to deal with a suffix. And there's two different methods that we often discuss in halacha. One is roiv, that we follow roiv, and the other method that is followed is kariv, what is closer. And the discussion we had in our previous year, of Chanina had the discussion, is when roiv points in one direction and kariv points into a different direction, what do we do? And Chanina taught us in our previous year that we follow roiv. Tashma, so says the Gemara, Nimtza, if a bird is found by Shnei Shaifchis between two nests, Karv Lezeh Shaloi. If it's closer to this nest, it belongs to the owner of that nest. Karv Lezeh, and if it's closer to the other nest, Shaloi, we say, belongs to the owner of the other nest. Now, presumably, suggests the Gemara, Vafagav, the Chad Minayu, Nofish Mechavrei. Even though one nest has more birds than the other nest. So ask the Gemara, isn't this clearly indication that we follow Karov, not Roiv? Answers the Gemara, Hacha b'may skinchish neim shavim. Both nests have an equal amount of birds, so therefore Roiv is not applicable here. Ask the Gemara, v'leiz l'basar ruba d'alma. Why are we only looking at the birds that are in these two nests? Why don't we look at the birds that are all over? And they certainly represent a much larger Roiv than what's in any of these nests. Answers the Gemara, Hachav Ma'iskinen. Our Gemara is referring to a situation b'shvil shekromim. The bird is in a vineyard, the trees are all there, and therefore, since there are birds, there are trees all around, it prevents the birds from going past the trees. Dim Isa, the Ma'amasi, if you will consider these birds came from elsewhere. When do birds wander away from their nest? When they could see their original nest. But if they're not able to see their original nest, they won't wander away. And I saw a beautiful story and vart from Reb Chaim Berlin, based on this Gemara. He said that while he was the Rav in Moscow, in Russia, one day he got a call from a woman who asked him to come do a bris milah on a son. But she gave him very, very strict instructions. The instructions she gave him were that he has to come in a time that nobody will see her. He has to come disguised that nobody should recognize that he's a Jew. People should think that he's a doctor coming to see this child. And of course, there should be no one else present when he does the bris milah. And he asked her, what is happening here? And she told him that she and her husband are high-ranking communist officials. And certainly that if they were to be discovered that they were doing a bris milah for the son, if they were exposed, they would lose their positions, they would be in serious trouble. So that's why he had to come under such circumstances. So he then asked her, if this is where you are in your observance, why did you feel the need to make a bris milah for your son? So she said that even though, she says, my husband and I are very, very far from practicing Yiddishkeit, from practicing halacha, we still know that we are Jews. And we chose, unfortunately, to no longer observe. If we won't do a bris milah on our son, we're not giving him the opportunity to ever know that he's a Jew and make a choice what he wants to do with being a Jew. So at that time, Rav Chaim Berlin said, the Pasuk says in Shir Shirim, Hinech yofech re'asi, hinech yofech einayich yoinim. Klal Yisrael are compared to a bird. What does that mean? What is the pasuk? What does Shlomo HaMelech mean in that pasuk when he says that we're compared to a bird? He says that the Gemara just said about birds that they're going to wander off, but they're never going to wander off to a distance that they won't be able to see where they come from. And he said, that's what I learned from this woman, that this family, even though they've unfortunately wandered off so far from religion's observance, they don't forget from where they come. And from since they don't forget from where they come, that's why they always have a chance to come back. And I saw the Gemara in Masechta Brachos explains that the based on the Gemara Masechta Brachos, the Gemara says that even if Klal Yisrael is an Am Novel V'loi Chacham, the Pasuk says that we're a nation that's Novel V'loi Chacham. We're a nation that's not smart. What does it mean that we're not smart? We're not doing what we're supposed to do. But even though we're not doing what we're supposed to do, the Pasuk says, Haloi Ahu Avicha Kanecha. We're compared to a nest. What is meant when the Pasuk says that we're compared to a nest? We're compared to a nest because just like we learn in our Gemara, how much Klal Yisrael wanders away, they always come back. They always come back to their nest. They always want to be able to see where they come from and always want to have the opportunity to come back to where they came from. And that's what our Gemara teaches us. That's what makes Klal Yisrael special. In order to understand the next piece of Gemara, we need to give a quick introduction that how the body of a woman looks. We know that a woman, if dam comes out of her makar, if dam comes out of her uterus, any dam that comes out of her uterus is dam tame, and will make her a nida, etc. But on top of the proizder, the canal in the woman's body from which the dam comes out of the body, there is the makar, which is the dam that we just said, that if they came out of the body, it's tame. And there's an aliyah. Aliyah is a chamber where there's also possibly blood, and that dam would not make her tame. So says Abaya, that halacha, which is learned in Masechta Nida and Daf Yud Zayin, also could serve as a source for halacha Rav Chanina teaches us about roiv and karev. Afanan nami tanina, that the halacha prefers going with the roiv than the karev. Because the Braisa says, dam shenimtza b'proizda, if the dam is found in this canal, sveika tamei, if we don't know exactly from where in the woman's body it came, it's tamei. Shechaskasim in a makar, we can assume it came from the uterus, and therefore it's dam tamei. But points out the Gemara, afagav, deka liyah demakirva, even though there's the liyah which is closer. So if when we have a situation of roiv and karev, we follow karev, why should this not be the halacha? We shouldn't be so quick to make it tamei. So because of this, we see that the dam, we go with roiv. Amalei Rava. So Rava says that roiv and matzu kamrit. Here it's not just a situation of roiv. There's another factor to take into situation. The roiv umatsui, it's also most common that's where the dam comes from. Lekalamandomer, there is no room for disagreement. Everyone will agree that when you have a situation of roiv umatsui, that we follow the roiv. And I saw that Rav Shmuel Rozovsky Zatzal explains, how do we look at this Gemara? One way of understanding it is that when you have two roiv umatsui, it's considered like you have two roivs. So yes, we're having a discussion when you have a roiv versus a karev, what to do. But when you have two roivs, certainly we follow the roiv. Another way of learning it is that it's a roiv that's a stronger roiv. And the roiv that we're discussing versus the karev is a regular roiv. But here we're speaking about a roiv that's a strong roiv. The fact that it's motzui, that is a much more powerful roiv. He says
And then Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, it's very much in line what we discussed from him in our previous year, gives a different explanation. He suggests, as we learned, that there's Roiv, which the Torah says, Achirab Milhatis, and there's Karev. The question is, what to follow? So he says, when we speak about Roiv, there are two types of Roivs. There's Ruba de Issa Kamon and Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Ruba de Issa Kamon is when we take a vote. We take a vote and the Roiv, the majority, holds one way. Ruba de Lesa Kamon is not a Roiv that's based on what we physically see. It's based on what we know is usually the case. This Gemara is teaching us that this is a Ruba. The Roiv Dam is a Ruba de Issa Kamon. And a Ruba de Issa Kamon, everybody will agree, is stronger than Karev. Tanav Chiyah, Dam Anintza Prozda. If Dam is found in the Prozda, Chayovin Alav Abiyas Mekdash, we know that if a woman is Tomei, she may not come into the Beis HaMikdash. And if a woman comes in contact with Truma when she's Tomei, we burn that Truma. If we are not certain, so then the halacha would be that if she came to the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha is if somebody who's Tomei comes into the Beis HaMikdash, they have to bring a carbon. She should not be allowed to bring the carbon because we can't be certain that she's Tomei. And if she's not obligated to bring a carbon, it's Chulin Bazara. She should not, if she touches Truma, we shouldn't be so quick to burn that Truma. We can't be certain that that Truma is Tomei, and we should have to leave the Truma on the side. Amarava, so says the Gemara, Shmami Namid Rav Chiya Tlas. So based on the halacha that we just learned, that with the dam that's found in the Prazdar, we could extrapolate a number of halachas. Shmami Na, the Roiv Karev, when we have a conflict, the Roiv and Karev, the halacha is that We follow the Roiv. So the Rishonim asks, the Tosfos asks a question. The Torah speaks about a woman being a Nida. And if every time a woman is a Nida, there's going to be a question, is she really a Nida or not? So how did the Torah speak about a parish of Nida if we can't ever be certain, because of this question, where the dam came from, that she truly is a Nida? So the Tosfos says a Chiddush. Taisus Red says, if we learn the Gemara that we're now learning, we keep on learning that the Gemara speaks about a case, Dam HaNimtza BeProzda, the dam that's found at the canal, and we don't know how to treat that dam. Clearly, if the dam were coming out of the body, says the Taisus Red, that's what the Torah speaks about. And the Torah tells us that when we have dam that comes out of the body, we could treat it as dam nida. That isn't the discussion here. Vishmamina, furthermore, we see from here Ruba deraisa, that we follow Roiv. So, of course, all the Rishonim ask the question that the Torah says explicitly, Taisus asks, Achir Rabban Mahatis, that we follow Roiv. So we need this story to tell, we need this braisa to tell us about that there's a halacha of Roiv. So I saw that the Rimagash answers that the halacha that we're saying here is that we follow Roiv, and Roiv is so strong midaraisa that we follow Roiv even when it conflicts the Karev. That's what the Chiddush is. Other explain that the Chiddush is that there's a difference, as we learned, between Ruba de Issa Kamon and Ruba de Leisa Kamon. And we're learning that we say Roiv, whether it's Issa Kamon or Leisa Kamon. The Shemamina Issa le Rav Zeira, the halacha is like le Rav Zeira, that the halacha, as the Gemara in Masechta Ksubas discusses, on Daf Yudal Ramabez, there was a situation that when we find a piece of daftezvav, when we find the meat and in a piece of street in a place where most stores sell kosher meat, Damar Rav Zeira Api Shadal Samadina in the Ulus, nobody else comes here. It's enough that we have a roiv of one roiv to say that meat is kosher. And to understand this Gemara, the Gemara speaks about a child that went to collect water, and she was violated. And Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said that if most people who live in that city are of good yichus, we could assume that this woman is still allowed to marry a kohen. And the Gemara explains that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Yeshua, that one roiv is inadequate. You need to have two roivs. And what were the two roivs there? One roiv is that most of the people in that city had a good yichus, and the other roiv was that there was a group of people who happened to be passing by that well who were mostly of good yichus. So the Gemara asks, why is one roiv inadequate? The Gemara that we just quoted that says, well, we have 9 butcher shops selling kosher meat and 1 selling not kosher meat, we assume that the meat that we find is kosher, even though there's only one roiv. So I will say that maybe it's speaking about where the gates of the city were open and people were traveling by and most of the people had kosher meat. So the Gemara says, no, Reb Zeira said that even if the doors of the city are closed and therefore we only have one roiv, it's enough to make the meat kosher. So, and that's what we learn from here, the power of roiv. If that's the case, why, by the story of the girl that we just discussed, do we need to have two roiv? Says the Gemara, there we're speaking about the yichus. And we always want to make sure that the yichus of Klal Yisrael is protected. And therefore, in the case of yichus, we need two roivs. Says the Gemara, for Rav who the Kamar asked the Gemara, and so, again, so says the Gemara, the story of the woman is where the doors were closed. Asked him of a Rava who the comment Rava was said an hour shear that only in a case Rava Matsui, when the Rava is a Rava which is common, like the Mandomer, everybody agrees that you go after the Rava. How can we say that in other cases we follow the Rava? Answers the Gemara, Hadabai Rava Mahi, and Rava said that you don't have to have Rava Matsui. Roiv alone is enough. And under all circumstances, we could rely on Roiv, as Reb Chanina taught us. Itmar, says the Gemara, as we, again, discussing the sugya of Roiv and Karev. Chavas Yain Shetzofa Benor. If you find a barrel of wine that's floating in the river. Amram Nimtzes Kenega Eruva Yisrael. If it's found in a city that's mostly Jewish, Muteris, we could assume that the wine is kosher. If it's found connected Yeshuv in Nachrim, if it's found in a city which is mostly non-Jewish, the wine is osur. And as the Yad Rama explains the Gemara, we learned from Sakba Matzi, if you find a barrel of wine that doesn't have a simen, we have to assume that the wine, that there's no issue of Ashavas Aveda. V'shmul Amar, even if it was found next to a city which is mostly not Jewish, mostly Jewish, Asura. Maybe it floated down from somewhere else. And therefore, from a place where the wine is not kosher. So says the Gemara, Lema, how should we explain this machloikus of Rav and Shmuel? But Rav Chanina kamifki, they're arguing over the halacha Rav Chanina has been teaching us. The ma is like Rav Chanina, and therefore we follow the roiv. And since the roiv of wine is not kosher, we have to treat this barrel of wine as not kosher. Or ma lisle the rava, we go follow the kariv. And since the wine is found next to a Jewish city, we treat it as kosher. Says the Gemara loy. That's not the way we necessarily have to explain this machloikus. Rather, the kulam is the Reb Chanina, everybody going to agree with Reb Chanina's halacha. What is the machloikus over here about? The mas sova, Rav's opinion is, the mis the mehira kaya osi, that if it came from a faraway place, a kuli apshure have a mitbelu, traveling down the river, and there's all sorts of situations in the river would have caused the water, the barrel to sink. Well, my sover, and my Rishmul's opinion is that that's not necessarily the case, because what happened here is that the wine, the current of the river, Harifa the Nahara, Nakivasoi, the current of the river would have followed, would have caused it to go down. Says the Gemara, Hahu Chatz the Chamra. There was a pitcher of wine, the Shtakaba Peridisa the Orla. And this pitcher of wine was found in a field that had orla trees in it. Shai Ravina. Ravina said that the wine is kosher. We don't have to concern that it came from the trees that are within the first 3 years, that we know the grapes of the first 3 years are the wine, the grapes are orla. The Rabbeinu Yoin explains, why was he not concerned that the wine was not kosher? So he said that the type of barrel that the Gemara is discussing here, he says, is the type of barrel that only Jews would carry. It's not the type of barrel that non-Jews transported their wine. And therefore, there was no concern that the wine was not kosher. The only concern was about the from which field did they come? Lema. So suggesting Gemara, why are we being lenient? Mishum the Savalak Rav Chanina. We're following the opinion of Rav Chanina, and therefore we could rely that most wine is not Orla. Says the Gemara, no, that's not the reason. The Shani Hassam, we don't have to be concerned over there, says the Gemara, that the wine came from this field. The Migna Minei, if the wine came from this field, it's nu begavei lemitzni. Somebody who steals wine is not going to steal the wine and leave it where he stole it from, says the Gemara. The Hanimili, when will somebody not hide the wine in the field from where he stole it? That's wine. Avil envy, grapes, matzni may be hidden that way. Hanizika the Chamra, says the Gemara, there were flasks of wine, the shtakach bekufoi, that were found amongst the grape trees in a Jew's property, Sharina Rubber. Rubber allowed them to be drink, says the Gemara, Lema, perhaps, loy saval Rav Chanina. This should be a proof that he doesn't agree with Rav Chanina, and he follows Karev. And since he follows Karev, we assume that the wine came from where, from the field where it's found. Says the Gemara, that's not the reason. Shani Hassam, Deruba de Shechva Yisrael Nenu. Most people who put wine into those type of flasks were Yisraelim. And the fact that they put wine into those flasks are Yisraelim, that's why it's a proof that it's kosher wine. A fantastic comment that we can make. We see that in those days, if we have wine that we assume was filled by a Jew, it must be kosher wine. And therefore, says the Gemara, El v'animili b'ravervi. It's only if they found large flasks. If they found large flasks, so people who travel and they want to bring along some wine don't have the strength to schlep big flasks. Aval zutri, if they're small flasks, and people walk and travel with flasks, ema ma'iver and drachem nafel, we have to be concerned that it was dropped by somebody who was traveling. But says the Gemara, Iker Ravri Ba'adayu, if we find them small flasks together with large flasks, then we don't have to be concerned. Because people who travel, we just said don't carry large flasks. And if they were found together, it can't be from people who are traveling. We have to assume that the only reason that they had these small flasks, if they have big flasks, why do they have small flasks? They used to put the flasks on the animal. But sometimes the two sides weren't balanced. And the way they would balance it is by putting on a small flask, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that if it's coming from travels. It says the Mishnah Machikna Se'ilam in the ear, Esrim Chamish Amma. We have to distance the tree from the city 25 Amma, because we have to have a place that's that's open. And as we're going to learn in our shiur today, that the way of keeping the city beautiful is by having this open area in front of the city. Ubeshchruv sheshikma, that they have a lot of leaves, a lot of branches, that we have to distance more. The halacha is chamisha amma. The Nemukah Yosef, in teaching us about this Mishnah, says, Ha hilchus l'mashicha. This Mishnah doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. The Mesnisim Be'eretz Yisrael Ma'iri, our Mishnah speaking in Eretz Yisrael, u'mishimnayir, as we just said, and only the halacha about how much, as we're going to be discussing, how much room you have to leave and how that room has to look is only when in Eretz Yisrael, and only when all of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, not as the Beis Yosef explains in the Mukhi Yosef, when we don't have the total control of Eretz Yisrael. Avishal Eimer, call Ilan Tzirak Chamishan Amma. It's Ilan Tzirak is a tree that doesn't give fruit, and it's not nice that that should be at the entrance of our city. Trees that are barren, and therefore you have to distance it 50 amma. Im heir kadma, if the city was before you planted the tree, kaitzitz, then the person had no right to plant the tree there, and you could cut it down, very nice and dumb, you don't have to pay, you don't have to reimburse him for his tree. However, im ilan kaidim, if the tree was there first, kaitzitz, you still have a right to cut it down. However, the Nisan Domim, you have to pay. I saw that the Rishonim discuss, what does it mean you have to pay? Does it mean that the city has to take out from the city's funds to pay? That's the Pashup Shat. Or others suggest only if there's one person who owns the city, so he's responsible. But if it's not that way, then there's no one that you could claim payment from. Sofik Zer Kodim. It was just not sure what was there first, the city or the tree. Kaitzitz, Vein and Nais and Dami, and the Gemara will explain why. My Tama, so what's the reason we can't have those trees next to the city? Amar Ula Mishem Noyair, as we explained, we want to keep the city beautiful. Ask the Gemara, why is there a new concept of Noyair? The Mishnah Masech Erechon teaches us. Then Oysen saw the Migrash, V'loi migris soda. The Tarek Dosha says that we have to leave 1,000 amos next to the city open and nothing there. And then we have another 1,000 amma where we have trees. And the Mishnah over there teaches us that you can't take the open area and plant it. And the reason you're not allowed to do that is because that takes away from the beauty of the city. And similarly, you can't take the place where you're supposed to have trees and leave it empty because there's a concept of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and we want there should be trees in Eretz Yisrael in a place where trees are able to be there. So the question is not just a question of Noyair. Why are we learning in our Mishnah that there's a concern of Noyair? It's a much deeper question. The question is, as we just said, you have to leave 1,000 amma open, not like our Mishnah said, 25 amma, 50 amma. Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebbe Lozer, Dama Oysen Sada, Migrish and Migrish Sada. You can interchange, but now our Mishnah teaches us, Hachem Shem Noyair, but there's a concept of keeping the city beautiful, and therefore for the amount of our Mishnah discussed, the amount of space that our Mishnah discussed, you have to leave it open. Ul Rabbanan Nami, and even says the Gemara, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan from that Mishnah, Damri ain't oisin sadi migris shulam migris sadi, hani mili, that, what does that mean? Zroyim, that you can't, the Rabbanan say that the 1,000 amas closer to the city, you can't plant a grain field. Avel ilonis, but trees may be planted. But now teaches us the Mishnah, Hachem Mishim Noyair. Our Mishnah teaches us that because we're concerned about the beauty of the city, that amount has to be left open. Ants the Gemara, Umar Temra, the Shani Ben Zroin Lilonis. Where do we learn this halacha from? So the halacha we learn in Masechta Shabbos is that a place that has walls around it is Rishus HaYochid. However, if it's larger than a karfif, which is the shear of sosayim, a place that two saw could be planted, which is the area of this of the chotzer mishkan, 50 by 50 amma, then you could still carry. If it's larger than that area, you may not carry there. It's considered a karfif only if it's used for living. So the Mishnah teaches us there, karfif yosebeis v'sayim, shokef ladira, if it was enclosed for the purpose of living, hareka v'nizra rubay, and then afterwards you planted there, hareka gina, even though it was originally a designated for living area, now that you planted there, it's considered like a gina, it's asar. Nita ruba, but if it was trees, then arei kechotzer, it's considered like a chotzer, and people plant trees even in a place that we live. So we see that there's a difference between a place where seeds are planted versus a place that trees are planted. Our Gemara now introduced the concept of noyhe ir. So I saw the Cheshuki Chemed has a question. He says there's a home that somebody wants to put up gates around his windows. And there are different types of gates. And some are nicer and some are not so nice. The neighbors want this person to put up nicer gates because they say if you're going to put up nice gates that are not that nice, it's going to take away from the beauty of our home. And this person says, as we know, Sheker Achein ve'evel yoifi, beauty is unimportant. So they use our Gemara that you're supposed to look at Noye Ir. And Rashi, in the Chumash, when he speaks about how the Mishkan was built, teaches us, Limda Torah Derech Eretz, Shiyodim Chos Al Yofa. A person should look for something that's nice. So the fact that we see the Halacha is that beauty, and our Gemara teaches us again, is that a consideration that they could force? And it's not necessarily a fair claim based on what we're learning in our shiur today. Because as we learned in our shiur today, the halachas that we're learning about are limited, the halachas that we're learning about are limited to Noye Ir. And as we discussed, it's not just limited to Noye Ir. We're actually speaking Noye Ir of Eretz Yisrael. So these are special halachas that apply in Eretz Yisrael and cannot be necessarily adapted to all the situations. We learned in the Mishnah, Ir Kadma, if the city was there first, Kaitzitzvein and Nais and Domim. You could cut down the tree and you don't have to pay. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah, we're going to learn in our coming shir, Gabi Bor. The Mishnah speaks about a bor that was near, that somebody put a tree next to the bor, the Tani Kaitzitz, that if the bor was there before the tree, Kaitzitzvein and Nais and Domim. The person could cut down the tree, but he has to pay. Answers the Gemara Amar Rav Kana. Our Mishnah, the wording means a pot, too many cooks spoil the broth. Our Mishnah is speaking about a city. If we're going to start having everybody in the city needing to participate because it's a whole city, it's never going to get done. And we're looking to keep Eretz Yisrael beautiful, as we've been learning, and therefore we just cut down the tree. There we're talking about individual. Well, my kusha says the Gemara, what was the question in the first place? Dilmashani Ezekad Rabbim, Ezekad Yachid. Here we're talking about a city, there we're talking about individuals. Says the Gemara, Itma, the Rav Kana, Seif Itma. We learned in the Seif of our Mishnah. Imi Ilum Koidim Le'ir, if the Ilum was there first, you cut down the tree and you pay. Why can't I say, if my tree was there first, you have to pay me. So first pay me, and then afterwards I'll cut down my tree. On Rav Kahana, the reason is, and we're never certain that you're going to get the money, but we want the tree to be cut down, and therefore because of this concept of Kedera de Beis Shutri, like Kamiri, like Hamimi, therefore the halacha is that we have to do it. So I saw that the Kedusha Tzion explains the Kedera Debei Shutva Lekariya Velechamimi speaks to every one of us. Every one of us is a combination of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Tov tries to push us to do Averis, to do mitzvahs, and not do Averis and vice versa. And we need to have a proper approach. Sometimes we have to get excited, and sometimes we have to not be excited. Kedera Debei Shutvi, a pot that shutvis, we are all made up of a shutvis of the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, then the halacha is that we should not get overly excited, because getting into the habit of being overly excited can make us be excited and doing averus. We should not be, on the other hand, overly calm. We should have a proper mix of midas. Safek zeh kodem, safek zeh kodem. We don't know what came first. So ask the Gemara, you cut and you don't have to pay. Ask the Gemara, why in the Mishnah we're going to speak about the tree and the bar, Amrit loy cuts. The Mishnah says, if we don't know what the case is, we can't cut down the tree. Hasam, says the Gemara, very simple. The avadi lav lemeikatz koi. Because the halach is, if the tree was there first, we don't have to cut it down. So it's not certain that we have to cut the tree. So therefore, when we have a situation of a suffix, lawyer mean like kites, we don't cut the tree. Hacha, in our Mishnah, where the trees and the city, vadi lemeikatz koi, there's no question that this tree must be cut. The question is, do you have to pay or not? And therefore, when we have a suffix, amino like kites. Vimishim dami, I want to get paid because I claim that the tree was there first. That we apply the concept of a mitzvah mechavera olav araya, amrina le asiraya shkol, bring proof that your tree was there first and you'll get paid. Marchikin eskarna kavua, meneir chamishim ama. If somebody wants to make a warehouse where he gathers the grain, he has to take it away 50 amas from the city, because when he winnows and threshes the grain, we're concerned about it dropping on the city and causing damage. Similarly, you can't make a goyrin in your own property, unless you have 50 amas around your property that the wind will blow it, doesn't blow it further than that amount. And when you have a garden, you have to separate it from your neighbor's trees and from his plowed field, to the degree kidei shloyazik, that they shouldn't do damage. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Resha Mishnah Sefer, why the Mishnah at the beginning said 50 amos, and the Sefer, the Mishnah said the amount that it shouldn't do damage. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Sefer Osel Garden Shana Kavua. The Sefer speaking that it's not a garden kavua, so we don't have to be so strict. So we don't have to have 50 amma. So ask the Gemara, Hey chidami garen shayna kavua, what is the definition of a garen shayna kavua? Amar Rav Yosef b'chanina, kol shayna zoyer barachas. You don't have that much grain that you need to use a pitchfork to thresh it. Rashi amma, Rashi says that we shouldn't look at the Reisha and the Sefer as telling us two halachas, but rather the Reisha should be understood as ma tam kamar. My tam machik in garen kavua, we have to be concerned, as we've been learning throughout Masechta, that we have to be concerned that we shouldn't do damage. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying this is a potential case that could cause damage. Meisvei asked the Gemara on what Abai just said. So we see that we always have to distance 50 amas. Bishlam l'Ravashi nicha, because the Mishnah always holds 50 amma. And because Kadesh lo Yazik is 50 amma. El Abaya, that says Kadesh lo Yazik. You don't have to always have 50 amma. Why does it say here you always have to have 50 amma? Says the Gemara Kasha. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Mikshu Midalov, we could understand why the threshing has to be distanced from the pumpkins and the cucumbers. The dust from that winnowing enters the vegetable on the top by the blossom and ruins the vegetable. El Maniroi, but why must it be distanced from a plowed field? Amai answers the Gemara Amr of Avi Bar Zavda, the Tamer of Avi Bar Zutra, of Nei Shaisa Golo. Too much of this dust makes too much fertilizer, and even though, as Tosfos explained, fertilizer is good for the field, but too much fertilizer dries out the entire property and ruins it, and therefore we have to be concerned about it landing on the field that was plowed.